Ben's family last night, his mom, his dad, and his sister. They showed me a picture, a drawing that Ben had made when he was in kindergarten. It was clear all the way back then that Ben wanted to do one thing in his life, and he wanted to serve his country and be a soldier. And to the Penningtons, just know how Ben was absolutely a great one. And finally, Major Sorfleet Davies, who returned home this weekend after sadly passing away from a medical condition while on duty in Kuwait. We welcome him home as well and mourn with his family. To the families and the families of all of our fallen, we share in your profound grief. The Joint Force remains eternally grateful for your sacrifice and the gift of a great example that your service members have given all of us. I want you to know that their names will never be forgotten, and you and your family are part of our Joint Force family forever. Let me talk a little bit about the progress thus far, acknowledging that Admiral Cooper will likely continue to give updates from CENTCOM. As the Secretary said, we're in the 10th, moving into the 11th day of Operation Epic Fury. The Joint Force remains focused on three military objectives: continue to destroy Iranian ballistic missiles and drone capability in order to prevent attacks on the U.S. and others throughout the region. And this means attacking launch sites, command and control nodes, stockpiles before they can threaten our personnel, our facilities, and our partners. Second, we continue to strike the Iranian Navy and their capabilities in order to do things like sustain movement through the Straits of Hormuz. And third, we continue to start working on and going deeper into Iran's military and industrial base in order to prevent the regime from being able to attack Americans, our interests, and our partners for years to come and project power outside their borders. This means servicing production facilities, research and development sites, and infrastructure. Let me turn to the map. We're going to try digital today to prevent laser injury. Since our last update, CENTCOM continues to make progress across the southern flank. To date, they've struck more than 5,000 targets. U.S. Strategic Command bombers recently dropped dozens of 2,000-pound GPS-penetrating weapons on deeply buried missile launchers across the southern flank. We also have struck several one-way drone factories to get at the heart of their autonomous capability. And of course, alongside our regional partners along the southern flank, continue to execute intercepts against one-way attack drones using fighters and attack helicopters. Our strikes mean we've made significant progress in reducing the number of missile and drone attacks out of Iran. Ballistic missile attacks continue to trend downward, 90% from where they've started, and one-way attack drones have decreased 83% since the beginning of the operation. A testament to our air defenders and our air defense systems, and as I said, our partners in the region continue to do great work as well. Second, we're making substantial progress towards destroying the Navy. In the first 10 days of the conflict, we're more than 50 Iranian naval ships into the campaign using a combination of artillery, fighters, bombers, and sea launch missiles. As Admiral Cooper noted last Thursday, we struck and sank an Iranian drone carrier ship, and U.S. CENTCOM continues today to hunt and strike mine-laying vessels and mine storage facilities. This work will continue. Third, we've against our objectives, we've begun to target Iran's military and industrial complex, again, focusing on centers of gravity to get upstream of the shooters out in the field in order to deny them the ability to continue to generate those one-way attack drones. Let me spend a minute talking about the Joint Force. Across the area of responsibility, this is gritty and tireless work, and I cannot begin to explain how incredibly proud I am of the extraordinary courage, tenacity, and grit and professionalism within the Joint Force. Last time I had a chance to talk about the Army's incredible logisticians who are out there sustaining the fight. Today I want to highlight a few groups of sailors. First, I want to thank the men and women of the Ford Carrier Strike Group and their families, and let all of them know how grateful I am for their leadership and service. The crews on board this strike group have already been endured months at sea, only to get their deployment extended. These exceptional Americans, rogered up, all supported by their families, continue to stand the watch, taking the fight to the enemy over and over again, night after night. Aboard ships like the USS Ford and the Abraham Lincoln are a special group of sailors I want to highlight today. These are the men and women, the sailors up on the roof running operations on the flight deck. With an average age of the early 20s, these are the unsung heroes of naval aviation. These young sailors, known for wearing yellow shirts, are in charge of the catapults, taxiing jets around on the flight deck, shooting jets off the front end, and recovering jets off the back end. They are literally involved with every single movement on the roof on an aircraft carrier. They are the last ones that a naval aviator sees before getting shot off the front end, and the first one that a naval aviator sees after safely trapping on the back end. And just for a minute, imagine you're standing on that aircraft carrier flight deck. There's 30 knots of wind in your face. The deck is slippery, covered in grease. It's noisy. There are propellers spinning. There's jet blast everywhere. The helicopters are running. Your head is on a swivel, and you're trying to direct a multi-million-dollar fighter into a one-foot square box so that those naval aviators can be shot off into the black of night to go do America's work. Those jets are fully loaded with missiles and bombs, and they are a world-class team combined with the naval aviation and the aviators in those jets. This beautiful symphony of American spirit is the definition of perfectly organized chaos, and these crews do it every single time the carrier is at work. Oh, by the way, in the middle of the night and oftentimes in the pouring rain. These are dedicated young people who take the road less traveled to serve their great nation, doing the deeds that we need them to do. America's enlisted force is the pride of every nation's military, certainly ours, and the envy of every other one as well. Each and every one of them out there across the joint force are extraordinary, and in particular today I want to highlight the yellow shirts. Ladies and gentlemen, our work continues. It'll continue to be difficult. I ask every American to keep our deployed force and their families in our thoughts. Combat deployments can be tough on the force and the families, and it's important that we continue to remember that. I remain deeply humbled by the 2.8 million members of the Joint Force, and I'll end where I started, and that's remembering our fallen and their families whose sacrifice will be felt forever. And with that, I'll take some questions with the Secretary.
A beautiful symphony of American spirit. Well said, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, sir.
I will just note that no other country in the world is capable of executing what the chairman just described, day after day, night after night, unrelenting. Well said. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Alexandra Ingersoll, One America News. You talked, Mr. Secretary, you talked at the conference in Florida on Thursday that there was a 90% missile capabilities degradation and 83% drone degradation, and I know the chairman just repeated those numbers. We've seen the most amount of fighting these past 5 days. Is there any update to those percentages? And also, are you able to give any quantification of degradation to the enemy's nuclear capabilities yet?
What those numbers represent is a persistent low ability to respond, which is what we're looking for, right? It's if the enemy can simply wait and then project power, that's problematic. And we've seen some spurts here or there, but ultimately the trend lines, if you look at the charts that we look at every day, have gone like this down to all a flat. It doesn't mean they won't be able to project. It doesn't mean they, you know, our air defenders still don't have to defend. They do, but that is strong evidence of degradation, along with the battle damage assessment that the joint staff does, which takes time. You've got to look at imagery and recognize whether something's been simply degraded or it's been destroyed or whether an underground facility has been collapsed or completely obliterated. So there's differences in how you evaluate that, but the numbers staying that low is a demonstration of the efficacy for sure. Yeah, right here.
Thanks, Mr. Secretary. There's been reports that the new leader of Iran has been wounded. Do you know if this is true and what his condition is? And then another one, President Trump said he had a really good call with President Putin yesterday. Will Russia be aiding us in this conflict? And can you share anything on that?
Well, the president, as I've said before, maintains strong relationships with world leaders, which creates opportunities and options for us in very dynamic ways. So the president said it was a good call. I was not on it, but those that were said it was a strong call, reaffirming hopefully the opportunity for some peace in Russia-Ukraine, and also a recognition that as it pertains to this conflict, they should not be involved. The first question was?
On the new leader of Iran, there's reports that he's been wounded.
Oh, the new leader of Iran. He would be wise to heed the words of our president, which is to not pursue nuclear weapons and come out and state as such. As far as his status, that's not something I can comment on right now. Sorry. Yeah, right here. Correct.
Mr. Secretary, Eric Schmidt with the New York Times. A question for you first. Last week, you talked about this being the beginnings of an air campaign that could last 3 to 8 weeks. Can you give us your assessment on where we are now? And Mr. Chairman, in any conflict, the enemy or the adversary adapts to the tactics it faces. Can you talk about the most challenging adaptation the Iranian military has made to the U.S. military? What challenges are you facing most right now? Thank you.
I appreciate the question. Where we are is in a very strong place, giving the President of the United States maximum options. And from the beginning, from this podium, we haven't stated how long it will take. Our will is endless. Ultimately, the President gets to determine the end state of those objectives, right? But what he's said continually, and I want the American people to understand, is this is not endless. It's not protracted. We're not allowing mission creep. The President has set a very specific mission to accomplish, and our job is to unrelentingly deliver that. Now, he gets to control the throttle. He's the one deciding. He's the one elected on behalf of the American people when we're achieving those particular objectives. And so it's not for me to posit whether it's the beginning, the middle, or the end. That's his, and he'll continue to communicate that. What we serve him as is we give him updates on a daily basis of exactly where we are so he can make that determination on the throttle. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for the question on adaptation. As you're right, no plan survives first contact with the enemy or Murphy. They're adapting, as are we. Of course, we have very entrepreneurial warfighters out there. I'd rather not, for operational security reasons, tell them what's working. I'm not a not answer that question based on that. But we are watching what they're doing, and we are adapting faster than they are.
Are they more formidable than
you're, we're just listening for a moment there to the press conference going on at the Pentagon right now with Dan Kane, General Dan Kane, Chairman of Joint Chiefs, and Secretary of War Pete Hegseth. I love that last answer. I'm going to go ahead and not answer that because I don't want to tell them what's working. The question was, what's Iran doing to adapt to our attacks? Our people are very entrepreneurial. They also talked about receiving the slain service members at Dover. It's a very sobering fact where we have had 7 service members reportedly killed so far, either in immediately or the one that suffered passed away from his wounds suffered earlier. 50 ships of the Iranian fleet have been destroyed. Half of their country is under bombing campaigns right now. If you look on the map that he was showing, it's increased from just being the perimeter that was a couple of days ago. They took out a drone carrier, which is a frightening thing to think about because the biggest challenge, logistically for any carrier is the people. And if you don't have to provide the people because you don't have to provide the pilots and so forth, that's just interesting that we destroyed that. He called General Kane called the aircraft carrier perfectly organized chaos, which I thought was a wonderful description, and would not comment. And Pete Hegseth would not comment on the condition of the newest appointed leader, the son of Ayatollah Khamenei, and now, of course, Ayatollah Khamenei. But the reports are that he has been wounded. I still have my over-under on 3 days, and we're 1 day in. 7:25 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Culver's. Lent is here. Enjoy shrimp or fish dinners or sandwiches. Cordova Mall, Mobile Highway, Milton, and coming soon to Pine Forest. Culver's, welcome to Delicious. Let's see here. Just one accident on the books at Old Palafox and 9 Mile Road. It's causing just some minor delays in that area. Highway 90 coming into Pensacola experiencing about a 9-minute delay, and Avalon Boulevard southbound about a 12-minute delay as you approach I-10. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Oh, and I know for those of you who were eager to hear part 2 of the Santa Rosa County Commission drama, 8-10, we just adapt. We just adapt.
Secretary
wants to talk, so we're going to, you know, we're entrepreneurial. We'll adapt. Hey, if you've got a kid who has done well at math in the past but is now maybe not doing as well or is struggling, Mathnasium. If you got a kid who's never really done well at math, Mathnasium. We are good friends with the owners. They are really good at what they do. The Mathnasium program itself is very good. My son actually taught at Mathnasium for a year. Big fan of the importance of math. And here's the thing. If you're not great at math or you struggle with it, whether because of the material or because of a lack of comprehension, a gap, a skill that's missing, a teacher that you just, you know, didn't sit well with you, whatever the case may be, all these things are fixable. There's no, like, you're permanently stuck in the inability to do math. But it can feel that way because it's frustrating and you don't want to admit it's a challenge. And, you know, all of the things that get in a kid's mindset, well, go to Mathnasium. Have your child take the assessment. It's totally free. Completely free to take the assessment and just find out what's going on, and then you can figure out a plan of action after that. 94% of parents report an improvement in the child's math skills. 90% see an improvement in school grades. It is a fantastic program located right in the next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you ever pray for spiritual and mental strength? Paul's prayer for the Ephesian believers was a prayer to strengthen their inner man. Let's pray his prayer right now and ask God to strengthen us in the same way. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, according to the riches of your glory, please allow us to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Father, thank you in advance for how you will strengthen our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Selling a home is personal, and it can feel overwhelming before you even know where to start. A lot of homeowners are told that if they question the cost of selling, it means they are cutting corners or taking risk. That simply isn't true. Wanting clarity and fairness doesn't make you cheap, it makes you thoughtful. I'm Miriam Rogers with Poppy Properties. I offer a full-service listing for only 1%, saving you thousands. And my easy exit agreement means you're never locked into a relationship that isn't working. You still get professional marketing, photography, negotiation, and guidance from contract to closing. What you get less of is pressure. What you keep more of is your equity. This isn't about doing less. It's about doing what's right for you, your situation, and your future. If you're thinking about selling and want to start with information instead of obligation and learn more about my 1% listing model, visit my website at forsalebymiriam.com. That's forsalebymiriam.com.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
You just shot an unarmed man.
Well, he should have armed himself.
Yeah. You know, of all of the Clint Eastwood movies, honestly, William Money, Bill Money, and Unforgiven is probably my favorite Clint Eastwood character. And my... one of the best westerns ever made. Maybe the best western ever made. Not the hotel, the movie. 7:30 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Live Nation has reached a settlement with the Department of Justice in the antitrust case tied to its merger with Ticketmaster. The case challenged the 2010 merger, with regulators arguing it created a monopoly that drove up prices and limited competition.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Sheriff Chip Simmons will be here in the house coming up next. We'll talk to him.
News. I'm CJ Pop. Another briefing from the Pentagon featuring Secretary of War Pete Hegseth and America's top General Joint Chiefs Chair Dan Kane as Operation Epic Fury reaches day 11.
Today will be yet again our most intense day of strikes inside Iran.
And Secretary Hegseth, 7 U.S. service members have paid the ultimate price in the war so far. President Trump flying back to the White House overnight from Florida. And while on board Air Force One, he spent about 20 minutes chatting on the phone with Fox's Trey Yingst.
I asked him about Mujtaba Khamenei, and he said that he's not happy with this election. He goes on to say, I don't believe he can live in peace.
And two, talking about the new supreme leader of Iran. And today, a top Iranian security official told President Trump, quote, be careful not to get eliminated yourself. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 72 degrees. It is cloudy this morning in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. A Milton couple is charged with felony child neglect after their 11-year-old son was hospitalized, weighing only 36 pounds. Investigators say Brandon and Chantel Palmore locked food away from the boy and confined him to his room. Brandon's a second lieutenant at Hurlburt Field. Both parents are now out on $10,000 bond. Pensacola police are mourning the loss of Canine Jet, an explosives detection dog stationed at the Pensacola airport. The department announced his passing yesterday. Jet was a Chesapeake Bay Retriever imported from Hungary who joined the department back in April of 2025 at 16 months old. He worked alongside handler Tavis Heron. No cause of death was announced. A Fort Walton Beach man is facing multiple drug trafficking charges after leading police on a chase last Sunday. Officers say they attempted to stop LeKendrick Ingram on Holmes Boulevard, but he drove through yards, damaged a mailbox, and fled on foot before eventually being found hiding in a backyard. Near where he hid, officers say they found a modified Raid pesticide can with a hidden compartment containing cocaine, meth, fentanyl, and oxycodone, along with nearly $6,000 in cash. Ingram's being held with no bond in the Okaloosa County Jail. A trial date's been set for the former Okaloosa deputy charged in the shooting death of senior airman Roger Fortson. Eddie Duran's trial, scheduled to begin September 28th, he is charged with manslaughter. He's pleaded not guilty in the case. In May of 2024, Duran shot and killed Fortson in his apartment in Fort Walton Beach after responding to a domestic disturbance call. Investigators say Duran shot Fortson multiple times before telling him to drop his weapon. Duran is due back in court in May. A Miami-Dade County business owner is fresh off what he's calling an amazing experience. Maximo Alvarez owns El Arepazo in Doral, where President Trump paid a visit yesterday. He was at the Venezuelan restaurant to address about 100 members of the Miami-Dade Republican Party. Doral Mayor Christy Fraga says that there's a lot of support for the president in that community because she says he's a man of his word. 7:34, News Radio, 92.3. Student-athletes should be aware of a new state law taking effect here in just a few months. The Second Chances Act requires heart screenings for anybody playing high school sports. That'll take effect on July 1st, but Jacksonville Sports Medicine Program Executive Director Robert Sefcik says that parents really shouldn't even wait that long. He tells First Coast News that there are tests that can help doctors find hidden cardiac conditions, which may require follow-ups. Well, world-class sailors are headed to Pensacola. This story from News Radio's Chris Bryan. He says the event is loaded up with a lot of fast boats.
A lot of excitement along Pensacola Bay. The Pensacola Yacht Club is set to hold the 2026 International WASZP Games. The action gets underway next Monday through the 28th on Pensacola Bay, marking the first time the world's premier foiling championship will be held in North America. Championship racing at PYC is scheduled for March 22nd through 28th. positioning the Gulf Coast as a key venue for sports defined by rapid innovation and high-speed technology-driven competition. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's 7:35, and now let's check in with John Pickens for an update on our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Drainall, your one-stop shop for all your drain cleaning needs in the Pensacola area. Call Drainall and get your drains flowing again. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, expect about a 12-minute delay. And also Avalon going southbound toward I-10, experiencing about a 15-minute delay. 98 westbound coming into Gulf Breeze, a 20-minute delay through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at a nice warm day today with temperatures warming up from the 60s and 70s, quickly getting into the upper 70s for highs. Partly sunny skies with temperatures tonight dropping near 68. For Wednesday, small chance of a light sprinkle with mostly cloudy skies, high near 78 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees with showers and thunderstorms coming in after midnight. Heading into Thursday morning, showers and thunderstorms clearing up by 7 a.m. with a high near 67 Thursday afternoon. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. 71 and cloudy. Your next news in 30 minutes, breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Scordo with Your Money Now. Stellantis taps Toyota and Bosch suppliers for hybrid technologies for new Jeeps. They're leaning on technologies from automotive suppliers for its newest hybrid SUVs. Automakers regularly use components from suppliers, but it's less common for key systems or technologies, especially ones pioneered by a competitor like Toyota. Dairy Queen's Free Cone Day returns Thursday, March 19th, as the company offers up a free small vanilla cone at participating locations across the country with no purchase necessary. Since starting the tradition back in 2015, the brand has handed out 38 million cones. Volkswagen has reported more than a 50% drop in annual operating profit, citing the impact of U.S. tariffs, currency effects, and a strategic shift at Porsche. The results come as Europe's automakers struggle to get grips with a series of industry challenges. And on Wall Street, futures are slightly up. Monday, the Dow was up 239, the NASDAQ finished up 308, and the S&P 500 was up 55. And that's Your Money Now.
Parents usually know if their children will argue over their inheritance, but this can be prevented. I'm Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors. No one wants to see their wealth wasted away because of poor planning. I've assisted several clients with estate planning ideas and sometimes have served as trustee or executor upon their death. Give me a call at 497-6167. Armada Advisors is charting a better course.
When I heard I needed a heart transplant, I thought it was game over. All I could think about was the memories that I wouldn't be able to make with my family.
Then an angel entered our lives as an organ donor. Their decision to register as a donor saved my husband's life.
Save lives, say yes. Register today as a donor at DonateLifeFlorida.org.
This message is sponsored by Donate Life Florida and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare here in Pensacola. I'd like to invite you to tune in to my new show, Sit, Stay, and Listen, where I'll be answering all your pet questions live on air this Thursday, 9:30. See all you cool people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you.
On your phone, on your computer,
wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter, even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, 7:40 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. And here in studio with me, I've got Chip Simmons, the sheriff for Escambia County. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Doing well. We've had a bunch of, you know, I mean, really unpleasant stories. Let's start with this. Is there any resolution yet on the report that there was a man, an older man, with what, a white beard and a pickup truck that had a naked female juvenile in the truck in some way? What do we know?
That was what was reported, and that's really all we know. Just to remind everyone, we got a call of an individual was walking his dog, and he said he happened upon his truck with what you described, a younger female, preteen female that was unclothed, and then that truck sped away. Rather detailed truck description. And so we had several conversations with the reporting person, and he's adamant that this is how it happened. This is the individual that did it. So obviously, an abundance of caution. I came in, changed my clothes, came inside, and did an appeal. Hey, if you know of this person, if this sounds familiar to you, if you know of a male that would have been in the company of a younger child like this, let us know. And we got a lot of people that are helping us out. We did go through, obviously went through the businesses and the homes in the area and see if anyone had video camera. And we don't see any truck that fit that description at the time that the reporting person said it would have been there. However, in abundance of caution, we're going to continue to investigate it as reported. At this point, I can't say that it happened exactly the way it was reported, but anytime there's the potential that a child's in danger, we're going to go to the extent that we have. But there's nothing new. We're still asking if the people be vigilant. If you happen to see a truck that fit that description, call us. And we have had a couple of phone calls that are pretty darn close to this, and we're following up on every one of those. And again, if there's just the potential that a child's in danger, we're going to continue to do what we have to do.
And I guess the person who reported it, you didn't have a license plate to go on, but you did have a pretty good description of the vehicle. And as I understand it, the flock readers are actually capable of, you can use AI with the flock and discriminate on the basis of make, type, age, color, condition. It's not just license plates numbers alone, right?
Some of the cameras have AI capabilities where you can put just pickup trucks, or you mm-hmm. can even put colors in there. I don't know that. I think that the flock cameras, many of those are simply license plate readers.
Okay.
But there may be some that are AI, but my understanding is that a lot of those are simply license plate readers, and we don't have a license plate. However, we do have some other cameras that are throughout Escambia County in the roadways, you know, mm-hmm. that are watching the roadway areas, and they do have the AI capabilities, as you mentioned. And obviously, we activate our real-time crime center. Mm-hmm. That's what it's for. For situations like this. And we had people that were actually working from the office, but also people that have the capability of pulling that up from their home, work laptop from their
home, right?
And then they can easily plug in whatever information we feel like we need, or they can look at our cameras and see if a truck fit in that description was in the area.
You said something that just I want to follow up on. You said activate the real-time crime center. Is the real-time crime center not active all the time, only in necessity?
Manned, not 24 hours. We don't have the manpower yet.
Right.
We're working towards expanding it. It started off as a daytime thing, but we had the capability of activating it, if you will.
Okay.
from a laptop from home.
Okay. I assumed it wasn't always going like overnights and that kind of stuff,
right.
But I just didn't know what the parameters were. We also have you're wanting Devon Kentrell Williamson in connection to a homicide on Booker Lane.
Right. There was a drug deal that had gone wrong, and there were shots fired, and ultimately it led to the death of an individual. Our investigators, again, very busy, very, very active, and they were able to determine that this is the individual that we believe committed the crime. And so we have a murder warrant out for this individual, and we're asking for people to let us know. We are not certain at this point that he is in town, but as you know, people come and go. You know, whenever they're wanted, they think it's a cool idea to flee town, and then they realize that I miss my home, or I miss this and that, and that they'll find their way to visit people, visit their family, and they'll come in and out of town. So we're asking if people know of this individual, where he is, and when he might be in town, to let us know.
And he's also wanted in connection to a missing persons case, right? There's sort of two different cases, or is that not?
It's
the same thing. Oh, okay, gotcha. And then, we have had a rash of kid stories lately. You know, Santa Rosa County has got this horrible malnourishment case. You had the child that got stabbed in Santa Rosa County. This horrible story. You know, your agency had the child's body that was found,
right, discarded, you know,
in a
trash bag.
Right. And I think you also had a malnourishment case not that long ago within the last couple of weeks. But we've had, I mean, I was talking to a medical examiner. She said they'd had five kid deaths in like a week. It was crazy. And so we have another aggravated manslaughter related to a three-year-old in this case. What happened here?
Well, this is the one we reported last. I think it was March the 4th, we initially reported that we got a call of a three-year-old that had been suffering cardiac arrest and ultimately passed away. And the investigation led us, in conjunction with the medical examiner's office, as you just mentioned, that there's just some horrific injuries to mm-hmm. this child and what I can only describe as torture. And ultimately, we arrested and charged the uncle, who was the caregiver, with negligent manslaughter at the time. And it's based upon the fact that he did not take this child to go and to get treatment. He took the child to work instead, and after a period of time, it was not until the child went unconscious and suffered this cardiac arrest that he ended up calling 911. So we charged him with that, but I was very careful then to say that there's going to be other charges. Someone's going to be responsible for the injuries and the treatment of this child. We just have to do a lot more interviews. We had to interview the other siblings. We had to interview some other family members. And then our investigators with the Gulf Coast Kids House, we were able to do that. And we eliminated a lot of people. And we're now upgrading the charge from negligent manslaughter to felony murder.
Okay.
So we're holding the uncle, who was, again, the caregiver at the time, with accountable for not just the failure to give the proper
failure to render,
the child,
yeah,
but also for the treatment itself. So we're seeking justice in this case.
We're talking to Scammy Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Florida West. Florida West focuses on attracting and expanding businesses that create jobs, increase wages, and strengthen Escambia County's economy. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you are on, Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, expect about a 15-minute delay. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, experience about a 7-minute delay through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Scambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. On the good news side, we've got Male Blazer Academy graduating tonight.
Yes, our 6th Male Blazer Academy. We have about 25 to 30 kids each time. So we're getting into the...
Like 200 total, right? Then, that's great.
So yes, tonight it will be our graduation. We're going to have it at the fine folks at the First Baptist Church downtown. There's a lot of students there, auditorium, because a singer was busy tonight, apparently. And so we're going to meet there, graduate there, and then we're going to go down to the Global Grill for what we call a fine dining experience. The simple people like me, that's as fine as it gets for me.
That is fine dining, though.
I love it. And they treat us very well. They set up an area for us, and you know, we'll post pictures. You've likely seen pictures of us getting another. We'll give them the gift, the pocket watches, the gift and stuff. So we're very excited about it. Another great group of kids, and just to hear their thoughts of their future, the community's future, their family, and who they appreciate, what they appreciate, and the mix of the kids that we have in the class. It's not all at risk. It's not prep school type kids. It is a mix of kids, and it kind of warms your heart to hear that this is where our future is going. Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of times you hear a lot of people they're getting down on the youth and young folks, and where are we going as a culture? We're fine. We're going to be just fine.
You know, it's interesting because I think about the sort of the experience broadening that gives them. I mean, to go out to a place like that, to maybe the first time ever they've been to a nice restaurant, you know, even close to that, that broadens their experience base. I also think probably for your deputies, aside from the, you know, there's so many negative things about being a cop that, you know, doing something where you can see the result, the goods, like the Christmas mm-hmm. shopping, it's such a good right. thing. But also, it's kind of, you tell me if I'm wrong, but it teaches your deputies that when they're looking at a teenager who's a problem, you know, that they might learn to see in them the Blazer Academy kid, you know, or the possibility of it. And that's helpful too, to remember, you know, inside of most all of these humans is, you know, sort of the better human waiting to get out if they can, you know, figure out a way. And I love every dimension of this program. So have other agencies have adopted this yet or not yet?
Well, there are other agencies that do their own
version.
And
okay.
Now I've been contacted looking for the curriculum, but to me the best part of our program is flexibility. And if something happens in today's, you know, we usually open up a current events. What's going on? What are you hearing? What are you thinking? And in the Iranian war and all that stuff that was taking place last. And while we're not getting political in it, we really don't. We do talk about insecurities and how you feel about this and that, and you're going to be okay. You know, you're going to be, you can do whatever you want to be. You can be whatever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. And if we just reinforce what likely their parents and their caregivers are giving them, it's just a different environment from a different perspective being law enforcement, but also from the experiences, the shared experiences that we've had in a law enforcement community.
I love it. You have movie night coming up, right?
Yeah, we have a movie night coming up. And I just looked at my phone here. Looks like we're showing the movie Home. I've not seen it yet, so pull me up a chair and eat me a hamburger.
I'm told we're showing Home, one of my favorite movies I have never seen.
It's 5:30 on Friday night, and it's at Triangle Park, which is in Navy Point,
over okay.
315 yeah. West Sunset. It's kind of a unique. If you go to Navy Point, if you're not familiar with it, and I'm not sure if they want everyone there, but I'll tell you, right. it is a unique park. It's right in the middle, and you can't miss it. And what is it called? Triangle Park. And why? Because it looks like a triangle.
And once you go into that area, you can't miss it.
And it's
right
really
there
a
on
cool
the front
experience.
Entrance.
Yeah. So, and certainly for a movie night. In fact, we had one there last year, and we thought, you know, this is pretty cool. Let's do one here again. And you know, the neighbors come out and they talk to people, and it's very, very nice. Anyways, Friday night, 5:30, the movie Home, and it says give them a little spiel. Worlds collide is what they say here, and it's apparently a good movie.
Sheriff's doing movie promos and everything. I love it. I've been told
I'll come back next Tuesday and tell you my thumbs up or thumbs down.
Hey, a couple of quick questions. One is Panama City Beach is doing, I think, an overnight, like a curfew on their beaches because spring break is kind of now, and next week is especially intense. Our local schools are out next week, I think. But we're not doing anything like that. No issues, no problems. We've managed to successfully be not Panama City Beach.
Over the last couple of years, we've really reinforced the idea, come here, but don't think you're going to tear up our beach. Don't think you're going to act a fool and you're going to get away with it. We're not going to do that. I had a meeting with a lot of the business owners and Island Authority about 2 weeks ago and told them, this is what we're going to do. We're going to send undercover operatives in places that sell alcohol. We're not going to tolerate selling alcohol to minors. We're not going to tolerate minors drinking alcohol. We're going to have additional cameras. Our mobile platforms are out there. The vans, the nuisance vans are out there around Casino Beach. We want people to come. We want families to come. We want kids to come enjoy themselves, but we want them to understand you're going to respect our beach or you're going to go to jail.
Man, that would have when that's I was in college. When I was in college, I wouldn't want to go to Pensacola. But that's the point. If you want to, misbehave, you can go to Daytona instead.
If you want to come and eat dinner and have fun on the beach, then you shouldn't come. If you know, if you want to cause problems.
I saw something the other day I had not seen before. I know you're in the process of, as you acquire new vehicles, you're not painting them green anymore. You're keeping them white. That saves you money, gets them out to deploy on time, you know, in a timelier manner, and so forth. But I saw one I had not seen before. It was a Jeep.
Right.
The white Jeep livery. Mm-hmm. It was the deputies that were working security from Manapickable, Fillable. You got one? You got money?
Two? We have two of them. Yeah.
How in demand are they?
Oh, they're actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
If you've seen them, they're white. They were probably the first white vehicles that we had. We've had them for a couple of years now, probably
three,
maybe 4 years now. They use them at the beach from time to time.
Okay.
But they also go to certain events, and obviously they'll be used during a hurricane. And we had two of them. We'll probably end up having to get a couple more as they continue to age. But they're pretty cool. We have the Jeeps. We obviously have our 57, our vintage car that was donated by the Scambia County Sheriff Foundation. And we have
as
the
in
Corvette
not taxpayer money. That's exactly, the key there, not taxpayer money.
And we have the Corvette that was seized. Again, no taxpayer dollars were used. And even the wrap on the Corvette was donated by the Scambia County Sheriff Foundation. So we have a lot of these things are engagement tools. Those Jeeps you're talking about are actually used. I mean, again, we use them. To your point, they were used during the the off-duty gig that we were working.
This is the last quick thing is, but I do want to notice it. K-9 Jet with PPD. Yes. Of course, you used to be the chief PPD. You're still pretty close to a lot of those guys. Just young dog that was serving at the airport, bomb detector, and got sick and got some kind of illness and passed away. And, to the handlers, these are their family, you know, and to the rest of the officers, their, you know, brothers in arms. But any thoughts? Just, I mean, give you a chance to kind of comment on that, because your agency, you know, I was talking to Mike Wood about this yesterday. He's like, yeah, I mean, it's bad. We're suffering. You know, we've lost somebody we love. And it was like the happy dog at the airport, you know, the companion dog at the airport to make, you know, and now he's not there.
Well, they're very much a part of the family, very much a part of the force. And it's tragic. We had a dog pass away from an illness also about 3 or 4 months ago. And it does. It affects not just the handler, but it affects the team itself, because you go to events and you see these dogs, you know their name. And we put out a lot of body camera footage, and we comment about which dog this is.
Yeah, yeah.
And our dogs are named after our fallen deputies. So, you know it's – anyway, we had a dog jump over the bridge and mm-hmm. suffered injuries, but ended up surviving that. So it's you know, our heart and obviously go out to the Pensacola Police Department and what they're going through with the loss of the canine. We're one of the few agencies that have actually lost canines in the line of duty by gunfire. We've lost two canines, and they're on our wall with the deputies that have lost their life as well. So we're going to continue to honor them. And again, I hope that, you know, that they can get another dog and replace. I guess it will never replace them in their hearts, but it's something that you know could happen when you have a pet. You know, we all have pets, and we all understand that their timelines are not what a human timeline is. And I guess the lesson there is to enjoy them while we have them.
Absolutely. Chip Simmons is Escambia County Sheriff. We always talk to him on a Tuesday. Sheriff, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. And no accidents to report to you right now. But if you are on, 98 westbound, headed toward Gulf Breeze, you'd experience about a 50 to 18 minute delay in that area. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
John's laughing, and you might have heard Chip's voice come and go because we're fighting a fly in here, and you know nobody can quite get it. I need to get Daniel-san in here with the chopsticks to take care of this problem.
Daniel-san.
Hey, if you have plumbing, heating, air conditioning, electrical work that you need done in your house, Peden, they do that since 1969, all along the Gulf Coast, from Tallahassee all the way now to Mobile. You know, they've expanded over the last couple of years into Alabama, actually. They'll take care of your complex systems in and out of your house. If you've got a generator, they'll take care of that, install one, maintain it, whatever the case may be. Good quality products, good installation, good people, 100% satisfaction guaranteed on the work that they do. And right now, they want you to beat the annual regulatory price bump. You know, new rules come with new equipment. New equipment costs more. So you can beat that price bump with Peden's New Year Old Stock Sale. You can take up to $1,500 off any remaining 2025 air conditioning systems. You know, it's getting pretty close to warm season before they're gone. Call or book online at Peden, PEADEN.com.
In the time it takes to watch one episode of your favorite show, you could be approved for your auto loan. While your dinner's in the oven, you could be comparing rates. By the time your morning coffee is brewed, those keys to your new car could practically be in your hand. PenAir Credit Union doesn't just process auto loans. We beam you straight into the driver's seat. Fast approvals, low rates, and easy financing. Apply now at penair.org/autoloans. Federally insured by NCUA.
Spring is here. Oh, yeah. And it's time to warm things up with the new slow smoke menu at Sonny's Barbecue. Whether it's our brisket grilled cheese, the hot link loaded mac, or the amazing new peach cobbler egg rolls, you're sure to love them. Maybe you're throwing a party and need some barbecue catered. We can help with that. Whether you're picking up, need it delivered, or a team to come out and serve. With four locations in the News Radio area, visit sonnysbbq.com to learn more or order today. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin, weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
He's awful. He's terrible.
Not only that, he isn't even nice.
All right, 7:59. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline for us. If he's got it for us, may not. That's okay. Okay. Hey, coming back in just a couple of minutes, we're going to continue our conversation about the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting, the big squabble over the renovations for the boardroom. It's a fascinating slice of sort of political life, and we'll tell you about that coming up next.